It is Danny Davenport, and joining us now on the Venue Kings hotline for our weekly visit with him is Jerry DePoto. And Jerry, you're playing down there in the Trop Dome, which has all sorts of sort of house rules about different catwalks and those sort of things. Sometimes I wonder if it's like a putt-putt course for Major League Baseball.
Well, it wasn't a putt-putt course last night. It was more like the long drive venue, but not an easy place to play, particularly coming across the country like we did. Very, a long trip. But a tough team for us to match up against. I think it showed up last night with the lefts and the rights in their lineup, make it a little more difficult for us.
Now, the question everybody will have regards Taijuan Walker, and it sounded like after the game it was relatively good news, given that he left the game in the fourth inning. What do you know about his foot, his leg?
Yeah, I saw the doctor, the Rays doctor, came in and visited with him last night and was actually very optimistic. He had an aggravated tendon in his right ankle foot area. Didn't think it was anything terribly significant, and actually forecast that unless something went wrong between now and then, he should be good for his next start.
Hey, Jerry, with Felix Hernandez, as time goes on here, I'm starting to think, I hope this guy will come back by the All-Star break. I don't know if you have any forecasts on what's going on there, but there was another host here. They call themselves the show of record, and they're really not. But Tom Wassel, I thought, had an interesting question the other day about whether you guys would consider a six-man rotation. Is that a possibility or not when Felix returns?
We haven't considered that, but quite frankly, we haven't really discussed what happens when Felix comes back. And, we have spoken about just in the last week, James Paxton has been absolutely terrific these last two outings. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it in terms of personnel. But as it relates to Felix particularly, our expectation right now is that, like we talked about last week, he is going to be out minimally for another week or two. And on the high end, it could be another month. And, we're going to take it as it comes. And it's more a day by day. We're going to treat the patient in this case. And Felix is tough. He definitely works his butt off and wants to be back out there. But the way his delivery works, we're going to have to be patient with this. We don't want to aggravate, what's going on in his lower body and let it translate into his upper body. That would be a disaster.
Yeah, and Jerry, it's just you see some of these injuries with the pitchers, and sometimes it's a calf or a neck. And you were a pitcher, and just talk a little bit about how much that affects, because I think for a lot of people they hear, well, he's got a hangnail or he's got this or a little quad tightness or something. But these guys are such finely tuned machines, man. It's almost like they're like racehorses.
Yeah, and if you do anything as a pitcher, particularly, but maybe more so than with the position players, which is why, as a rule, we'll be more conservative with the pitching. Physically, any alteration to your body is going to result in an alteration to the way you deliver the baseball. And anytime you alter your delivery, you're taking a chance at hurting something. And it's one of the reasons why I've referenced many times. We don't want to take a chance with Felix. That's what's happening with his calf, that it starts to take effect in the upper body. His delivery is his delivery. It's so many innings into his major league existence and having repeated his delivery so many times, if we turn the screw just one half a turn and change his delivery with any kind of significance, you take the chance or the risk that something could go wrong up top, and we don't want to take that chance.
Jerry DePoto is with us here. And Jerry, you mentioned James Paxton. Been really fun to watch him throw. And I don't know what it would feel like to see 100 on a radar gun, but I know that I would certainly pump my fists and probably do all sorts of other things that would be untoward and show a lack of maturity. What have you thought about what we've seen from him, and where did this extra velocity come from?
James, leaving spring training, James' average velocity of his fastball was something in the neighborhood of 92 miles an hour. Over the course of his major league career, which is 30-ish starts over the past couple of years, he was about 94 miles an hour. And, we sent him to Tacoma, and he went through a very slow and subtle delivery change. So we, in the effort to make sure we weren't doing anything to risk future health, he worked with Lance Painter, and he worked with Rick Waits and our staff to try to lower his arm slot. And, not always the easiest thing to do for a pitcher because it feels right the way you're doing it, but he was so far over the top in spring training and even coming out of the fall league last year, that he was not able to manipulate the baseball very well. And, you know, we were trying to get him into a slot where he could manipulate the ball, create better movement, more consistency with his breaking ball. And, you know, the unexpected result was that it resulted in a significant velocity jump. And, you know, he went from a 94-mile-an-hour average to, for his three starts in the big leagues this year, he'd been sitting 97 and 98 and up as high as 101. So it's kind of incredible, and I wish I knew that the results were going to be quite that dramatic in terms of velocity. Maybe we'd try it with everybody. But, you know, in James' case, you know, kudos to him for being open and receptive to the changes. And it's really worked for him. And as I said to him last night, whatever place he's in right now, stay there. It's just been fantastic.
How does that affect his ceiling and what you guys will hope to get from him going forward?
Well, James has always had a very high ceiling. The big issue is just staying out there and pitching. And, you know, in order to reach any ceiling, you actually have to pitch. And one of the biggest issues for him was always the ability to take the ball to post. And, you know, so far this year, fingers crossed, he's been able to post. He takes the ball and he's pitched every fifth or sixth day since the start. And, you know, that's the biggest thing for him. And he has he's rarely had an injury that you considered ominous or long-lasting. It was always small things, like you said, a fingernail or a blister, you know, a finger tendon. It could be small things, but they have a dramatic impact. And this year he's been able to, you know, knock on wood, he's been able to shake.
What's your concern level right now, Jerry, with your bullpen?
I mean, the bullpen's gotten beat up. There's no question over the last 3 weeks the group has really struggled, particularly compared to the first 2 months where they were fantastic. You know, we've seen some guys hit the skid. Some guys are just normalizing. They were going so well for so long that at some point the other shoe had to fall. And as a group, I think the other shoe has fallen. And now we're back to just kind of being who we are. And if you look at the hierarchy of American League bullpens, we're over the course of the long season, we're still in the upper third in just about every category. But here over the last 3 weeks, we've really been sloppy in terms of the just protecting leads late, particularly with the home run ball. And, you know, from an outlook standpoint, I'm still very confident in this group. I know Scott and the staff remain very confident in the group. We'd like to be in a position where we can better deploy the right people at the right times. And some of that comes down to the starting pitch. Like last night with Taiwan going short, like has happened so many times in the last 3 weeks. You know, we went through a 7-8 start stretch where starters were averaging well short of 5 innings a game. And that has an effect not only on the bullpen the day that it happens, but it has an effect on the bullpen for the foreseeable future until we're able to right the ship. And we have not yet gotten back into that groove where our starters are giving us 6-7 innings a night and the bullpen can reset. So, you know, hopefully, and this is a really difficult road trip to navigate, but hopefully it happens while we're out here on the road. We need to let the bullpen get back on track where they're not scrambling the jets every day in the fifth inning. And I think once we do that and we have 3, 4, 5 consecutive starts where the pitcher's getting 18, 21 outs in the rotation, now Scott can match up his bullpen appropriately instead of just, you know, running guys out there and hoping for the best, which unfortunately has been most of the last 3 weeks.
4 blown saves for Cishek. Although when you look at closers around Major League Baseball, it seems par for the course that every once in a while these guys are going to have the so-called hiccups. I imagine you're still firmly in his corner.
Yeah, quite. And, you know, Steve in the aggregate has been fantastic for us this year. And, you know, his overall numbers, his overall performance still very good. He has had an occasional hiccup, usually with the home run ball to the left hand hitter, and typically at home. It's something that, you know, I don't want to call it a pattern, but that is, you know, Steve's blown saves have all kind of followed along on the same track and just trying to jam that one extra fastball in there against the lefty. And it's something that you have to live with. Like you said, whether it's, you know, Craig Kimbrel or Aroldis Chapman, you're going to have that from time to time. And, you know, Steve's not immune to it either, but he still has our trust. We know he's going to go out there and compete and throw strikes. And, Again, the it's not his intent to give up the homer there in the ninth inning. It is what it is, and we could pick any closer in the league, and they're going to have that moment or that day. What we need to do is we need to be as consistent as we can in giving them opportunities, because in the last 3 weeks or so, there's been a lot less opportunity. And, you know, when you're running Steve Cishek out there, who's considerably better against righties than lefties, and you're constantly giving him a one-run lead to protect, and we're in the pocket of the lineup where there's two lefties, there are times where you're going to have to live with the fact that we're going to give up the one run.
Jerry, last
time. And the one thing I will say about Steve Cishek is this, is he has done an excellent job of making sure when that moment happens, he stops the damage there and gives us a chance to come back in the game.
Last time we talked a little bit about the trajectory of Edwin Diaz, his career and how you use him, and tell us what your evaluation of him last night was.
Electric. He was fantastic. I think it was the right puck in the game. You know, the young, fresh arm. He had been stretched out as a starter. He was very efficient. Fastball, again, was up to 100 miles an hour. I thought he threw a handful of really good sliders last night. More importantly, he attacked the strike zone. He was really pitch efficient. And, you know, he's establishing himself as a trustworthy option in the late games. And, you know, like I said a moment ago, if we can get to the point now where our starters can get us into that sixth, seventh inning zone, I think you'll start seeing more of Edwin and those types of winning game opportunities as we move forward.
Hey, in the past, Jerry, we've seen with Cano, when he has something go wrong, he'll pop seeds in his mouth or blow a bubble. Last night, there was a couple of ridiculous strikes called on him, and he slammed his helmet down and his bat. I've never seen him get that angry before, have you?
No, actually, whether it's good or bad, it's more the bubble on the seeds. I think, you know, I've never quite seen anybody be able to range, you know, 70 feet to get a ground ball in a hole and blow a bubble while he's picking it up to make a perfect throw. So it's he plays with that kind of relaxation and you know, general ease all the time, and you don't usually see him even his demeanor never really changes on the field. Now, last night he was frustrated a little bit, and you know, it didn't stop him from chipping in a couple of hits, but you know, in that first inning it was certainly notable that the strike zone was maybe a little wider to the left-hand hitters. And, you know, as long as it goes both ways as a player, you can adjust to that.
Jerry, on Sunday when he got thrown out at second base to end the game, did you just shake your head at something like that?
Yeah, I mean, not much else you can do. You know, his shin guard was popping off. And in the game of inches, and we do play in a league of inches, so to speak, wraps the ball, hits it hard down in the corner. Mazzara made an unbelievable play off the wall and threw an absolute strike right on the bag to throw him out by what equated to inches. And it's kind of how the last homestand went for us. I thought we played well enough to win in a lot of those games, but the, you know, Kyle Seager hits a ball off the yellow tape instead of over the wall. Their guy squeaks one over the wall. You know, Robbie wraps that ball in the corner, gets thrown out by inches. And those aren't excuses. That's just what happens over the course of 162 games. And just as easily, whether it's next week in Boston or Detroit, we're gonna have that moment in time where it flips, and all of a sudden the right fielder fumbles that ball, or the ball, you know, hits the left field wall and ricochets into the stands. That's baseball.
Ketel Marte, he had the play where he was thrown out. It's like, I'm amazed at how good the replay technology is. And there's times where I wish it was a little worse, Jerry. And they weren't able to see it so clearly, because when he had a play where he was thrown out of second base, and I think it was a shin guard that was the thing that ended up getting tagged, it's remarkable how clearly you can see those things.
Oh, it's crazy. And, then, you know, in the moment live, you always think it's the other way. And then when they slow it down, you can really see it. I think it's been a good thing for baseball. I know it can be irritating at times when it costs you a runner, it costs you a run. But over the course of the long season, I think it evens out. And more particularly, I know it's fair, and that's what's most important.
He is Jerry DePoto. Jerry, we always appreciate you stopping by to talk baseball with us. We appreciate it, and best of luck going forward on this road trip.
Thanks, guys.